The VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network, all proudly from Barcanada at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Well, I'm sorry, what's that? Being told it's Barcanada. Barcanada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. What a show today on a Friday. Football. Matt Brown, three segments of NFL coming up momentarily. We'll give you all of our picks that we've had already in pocket for this week, week number 9 in the National Football League. College football from an analytics standpoint from Dr. Bob. Also, Chris Velika and I, Kelly, have Breeders' Cup fever. We've got no time for small talk with Velika because we've got to get his Breeders' Cup plays. And Eddie Olczyk will join us from NBC Sports to give his Breeders' Cup plays. And when I say Breeders' Cup plays, I'm not just talking about the classic. I'm talking about the turf, the juvenile.
I'm going to guess Felica's got plays all weekend or all Saturday. I don't know when it
starts.
Well,
it starts today.
I was like, does it start today?
Yes, it does.
Yes, all Friday and Saturday.
But here's the thing. So tomorrow's races, the classic is obviously the one that everybody points to, which, is, by the way, the general public thinks the Kentucky Derby is bigger than this. It's not. Breeders' Cup is the biggest race of the year in thoroughbred racing.
Financially, right? Money-wise?
Everything. Prestige-wise, too, right? But really, this weekend, the turf is maybe it's the best race of the weekend in terms of the competitive field. It might be the best Breeders' Cup turf race in 20 years, maybe beyond. And then when you get to the distaff, and if you listen to people's opinions on the distaff, they have such conviction on the horse. They're like, oh, I don't understand what everybody else is saying. This is the horse. And everybody's this is the horse is a different horse, anecdotally. So I can't wait to hear what both Velika and Olczyk have to say about that.
Chris Velika, great producer, still helping you prep for shows. I like it.
That's right. Producer helping me prep? No, not at all on this one. But here's the thing. This is going to be fascinating because we always like to say irresponsible betting weekend. Irresponsible betting Saturday coming up. Irresponsible betting Saturday coming up. If not today on the Breeders' Cup. We're all good with the audio. By the way, if you thought that open was janky, there was a reason for that. We sort of plowed through some issues there. But we're on air. Yes? Okay, cool. Okay, before we get to any of that, if you had under 5.5 games for when Victor Wembanyama became a bona fide NBA breakout star, you cash. If you didn't think this was going to happen, it has happened. In the words of the immortal Jim Lampley, when George Foreman knocked out Michael Moore, it happened. 38 points last night for Wembanyama. 10 boards. 38 on 15 of 26 shooting from the field. 3 of 6 from behind the arc. Plus 21, by the way, if you're into plus minus. As the Spurs beat the Suns for the second straight game. Two games in 3 nights. San Antonio at Phoenix. A weird sort of NBA scheduling thing they do these days. And I guess the question becomes, by the way, the Spurs win the game, 132 to 121, I should point out, which is just, you know, they won it at the buzzer on a late steal from stealing the ball from Durant the other night. But this one was much more convincing in terms of as 10.5 point dogs. They win it by 11. And I guess the questions abound. What does this lead you to in your head? Obviously, Victor Wembanyama was the prohibitive favorite to be Rookie of the Year. Then we talked about Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. Where does this go with the Spurs, in your opinion? Where does this go with the Suns, in your opinion? Because the Suns, by the way, didn't have Booker or Beal in the first of these two games, but they did have Booker last night. Booker and KD still didn't have Beal. Do you feel like the Spurs are a playoff team from this? Do you think the Suns are worse than you might have thought they are? And then dare I even venture the final comment? You know where I'm going with this? How many people are going to make a Victor Wembanyama MVP bet after that performance last night?
Yeah, I'm sure there will be a lot.
At like 100-1.
Yeah, I think that, always keep in mind MVP, I think, is really heavily correlated to team success. And going back to one of your questions about the Spurs, no, I think it's still very much a long shot to think that the Spurs are going to be in contention for a playoff spot. I mean, Wemby's amazing, right? It was all we ever talked about was how long is this going to take? And it's we could sit here and say it's one game, and is it just one game? I don't, he's going to be great. At some point, he's going to be great, and this might
We knew it would take time.
Right, and I think we should all still think that way. Devin Vassell going down in that game last night, if that is any kind of a long-term injury, I don't think it will be. It was a groin injury he left with.
Devin Vassell's career trajectory in points per game is just a beautiful line upwards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this team has a few pieces that are really good that could, you know, that could help push this team forward, but if you lose guys like that, I mean, it was part of the reason why it opens up more shots for Wemby last night when a Vassell goes out of the game, their most consistent offensive player. So, real boring. I think the market's going to probably overreact to a lot of Spurs things, so if anything, I'd probably be looking from a betting standpoint the other way often with them. But, you know, this is always going to be, whenever it's a Wembanyama game, we talk about it all the time when almost every sport, but it's a game of matchups, right? And especially in the NBA, you know, the Suns don't got a lot of great bigs they're able to throw out there and rotate through.
Bigs aren't their thing, that's
yeah,
for sure.
And that's and you know, I think there's from a betting standpoint, we've talked about this before. I always stay away from games like this. I hate the home and home again thing or whatever, you know, it is. I don't like it. It gives more of a playoff feel to me, handicapping wise. So
okay.
I like to stay away from
it. Let me ask one last question about this.
Yeah.
So that's game five. And if it becomes this thing, like if he goes out the next game, they play the Raptors on Sunday. If they go out, if he goes out and he scores 15 again, right, then it just becomes this, okay, you know, every once in a while he'll have an outburst like this kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
But if he drops 30 again, right? Took him five games to drop over 30. If he drops 30 again in game six, that will then in some people's mind become a pattern, right? It's like, oh, he's played six games. The last two, he's having no problem doing anything he wants. Then does it start to creep into your mind more?
Which part?
The MVP part. Seriously, I'm just asking just because I know there's people who watched that last night who are like, I got to make this bet. I already know someone who's already made this bet.
Okay.
I'm with you.
I'm going to catch a lot of heat for what I'm about to say because let me make clear. I think Victor Wembanyama, at some point in his career, we will say he is the best basketball player on the planet.
Yeah. You didn't let me finish, though. What I'm saying is I'm with you, right? I'm with you. But I'm saying if he does it twice in a row in just six games, that number is going to crash.
Yes.
You would not be a part of that crash.
I will not be betting Victor Wembanyama to win MVP, I would imagine, at any point this season.
Okay. What if he does it a third straight game? I'm just saying, there's a point where you cave to.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I guess there's a point.
Yeah.
And is there a very good chance, I'm looking at it right now, he is minus 340 to win Rookie of the Year now?
Yeah.
Is there a chance that's the best number you're going to get the rest
100%.
Of the season? There's definitely a chance. Like we talked about with Ohtani.
How stupid do we feel? Like, well,
I feel dumb already for my scoot ticket.
For the scoot ticket.
Yeah,
I feel dumb already.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Banchero was minus 700 within a minute and a half last year.
Right, yes.
So the fact that he's only, minus 340 right now, he values value.
There is definitely a chance that is the best number you're going to see for the rest of the season.
All right, football last night, it was as big of a barn burner as we expected. And by that, I mean not at all. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 5-3. How are your pre-flop unders on them feeling? Oh, my God. Pittsburgh Steelers win this game 20-16 against the Tennessee Titans. They had to withstand a last Titans drive that was extended by a 4th-and-7. It looked like it was going to be a 4-and-out to end the game for the Titans, but then a defensive hold was called on Joey Porter Jr., which I don't know that we ever got an angle that really showed it, but okay. And they had to get a Quan Alexander pick with 11 seconds left, or the play began with 11 seconds left in the ball game to win this game. But the Pittsburgh Steelers now, just to put this in context, they're 5-3. They're the only team, let's roll the, pardon me, the tweets on these. They're the only team in the history of the NFL to have a winning record when getting outgained in each and every single ball game. 5-3. This is from Sam Hoppin over at CBS Sports. It said Pittsburgh's win probability entering the fourth quarter in their five wins. Week two, 40%. Week three against the Raiders was 95.6%. But then the last 3 weeks, 22% against Baltimore, 34.4% against the Rams. Last night, 38.9% against Tennessee, because these were all come from behind for Pittsburgh, or that this one last night was come from behind. But if you look at that, they've been outgained in every single one of their eight games. And as far as the NFL this year in terms of who's been outgained by the most aggregate, Steelers are minus 790. Only the Denver Broncos, who had that game where they gave up 70 to the Dolphins, have given up more. They're minus 830 net in terms of total yardage. Talking about net total yards. This is from Doug Clawson over at CBS Sports. The Steelers are the only team in the Super Bowl era to have a winning record through eight games, despite being outgained in every game, as we said. But those are the aggregate numbers. And Mike Tomlin, we joke about this. It's our running joke, right? The joke started because every show on every network on Earth talked about how, hey, Mike Tomlin has never had a winning record, and so then we would act surprised whenever we would hear this ridiculous thing.
Never had a losing record.
Never had a losing record. Pardon me. I've never had a losing record. My bad. And along those lines then, what we just described, this is Tomlin's Picasso. On that.
It's amazing.
This is like, oh, you want to laugh about this? I'll show you. Watch this. We'll get crushed in every game, and we're 5-3. All they have to do is go 4-5 the rest of the way, and he's done it again. Well, actually, technically, he has to go, 3-5-1, and he would still not have had a losing record. That's the thing. He never had a losing record.
So all the yardage stuff you just read off. I have under 9 wins on the Steelers, under 7.5 in alt numbers. No chance.
Kenny Pickett didn't do anything special.
Just going to make my notes for next summer.
Will
right
Levis
now.
Looks like the guy, though, for Tennessee.
Billy Levi's looking good. Wish went number one.
Yeah. It looks big. He looked even better yesterday, I think, than even his 4-touchdown performance. We'll come back. Matt Brown on all his NFL thoughts. It's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Back on a Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the Dates. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets. A lot of them have to do with the Beating the Book Megapod. Thanks to everybody who listened so loyally to the Megapod. Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and myself with a rotating guest. The rotating guest this week, the great Matt Brown, who we're about to introduce here. But a lot of comments on that on Twitter. We get tweets at Beating the Book. CPT John Prescott, MD. Wow. That's a great Twitter handle. Said, I demand the Miami Dolphins fight song every Megapod from Todd. I'm the guy that said I wanted it crowbarred in every pod. My daughter hates it when you sing the song on our way to gymnastics every Thursday night. So he's trying to kill his daughter in the process.
That's a great song.
David McDonald, he's quoting me. I said, like doing a podcast with an 8-year-old. That's me referring to Toddy on there as well. Grateful Mouse, mark me down for not turning off the podcast when Todd sings the Dolphin song, but I do take my earbuds out. Okay, that's enough of that. There's tons of those. Nicholas Griggs, the Mike Tomlin effect, something tells me there's a more telling stat somewhere someone has mentioned before. I just can't put my finger on what it is. Mike Rouse, who does a better job with their enunciation? Matt Brown, it's called Long Shots, or Billy Walters, he wanted to bet $400,000 on the U.S. team. Those are not run enough on the network. And 3JackH3131, happy Friday, Gil and Kelly, just saying thanks. We're always bringing great content sprinkled with humor each and every day. The 2 hours always helps break up a monotonous workday. As always, good luck with all of your bets this weekend. That's very, very kind tweet.
Yeah,
very sweet of him. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the aforementioned Matt Brown, VEASAN's own, who hosts not only Long Shots, or by its original title, it's called Long Shots, but also, of course, the All Angles podcast, which he does solo right here on the network, two of them a week, and of course, The Handle, which he does with Mike Somich each and every weekend night, 7 p.m. Eastern time on the network.
Yes.
Thank you. Matt Brown, everybody.
Confirmed.
Let's get Ravel in here to confirm.
Took him a second, but yeah.
Like, yes. Confirmed. Absolutely.
You had a little time zone map right there. You're like, is that Eastern?
Yeah. Yes.
How you doing, man? Thanks for doing the podcast.
Yes. Podcast was super fun. We got into some different discussions. But, hey, that's what podcasts are. The thing about podcasts, when there's no construct to what we have to do and time schedules and commercial breaks and rundowns to follow, sometimes things just kind of go off the rails, but it was a good go off the rails.
It was a good go off the rails. Yeah. One of us might have cursed, which is not never for, you know, not really frowned upon.
The other thing that's great about podcasts.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, you get to do that.
How's your NFL season going? We 8 weeks behind us, week 9 in front of us. How's it going so far?
Yeah, we're good, man. Everything's good. It's an interesting deal running into what we ran into yesterday. So I gave on the podcast like an extended version of kind of what I said on your podcast, which was, a lot of range of outcomes, rookie quarterback, short week, stats were kind of inflated by a non-offensive pass interference and then a blown coverage and all that. So what do we get from him on the road, whatever? And then I go in, you know, with the whole deal about the Steelers and Kenny Pickett and being injured and yada. So I give this what I thought just an excellent breakdown of this.
We're talking
game
about Levis now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and then I go over to Pickett and say, like, you know, okay, now he's, you know, how injured is he? He was injured enough to where he couldn't come back in the game last week, yet somehow in a short week he's healed.
Why are they letting him play?
So I get this whole deal about, like, look, range of outcomes there. So I say, I lean to the Steelers, but I do like the under. No props in me for this because, again, there's a million different game script. And if you're sitting there trying to play props, like, confidently, you have to have a game script, and then the props have to tell what the game script is, right? And so we go on. Everything I get, you're paid to tell us what props you're playing in the whatever and all. So I give out not only the under and then getting a strong lean towards Steelers, which ends up getting home as well, luckily, if you want to say. But and instead of that, I get, dude, you're supposed to give us props. Like, you're paid to give us props. One guy came with the, you're paid to give us props. And
you're
also,
paid
so,
to give
so
us
it's like,
props.
I give this reasoning as to why I don't want to give props.
That's
right?
Not allowed, apparently.
And then say, the bet I will have in my account is the under, which wins. It doesn't matter. And so we're in an interesting time, though, on the content side of things, because that was the further kind of, you know, the cherry on top, that they don't really care a lot of times what I'm saying. It's just like, give me three or four different things to fire on.
I don't think that's a new thing.
No.
Yeah.
But it's like, even when you're trying to explain why you're not doing so,
right.
The thing that annoys all of us, right, is someone gives a play for absolutely no reason whatsoever. They give no context as to why they're doing it. There's no whatever. And like, but I could have done that and it would have appeased, like, half the people that were listening.
Yep. There will always be, and there always has been, from the dawn of time. And by the dawn of time, I mean 2010 in sports betting podcasting. There's always a portion of an audience, a percentage, that just wants the picks.
Yeah.
Right? We'll take the crack hour that we do yesterday. The unscripted with crack is the sort of extreme. There is always going to be a portion of the audience that's like, what is this? Where's the picks? Where? Mm-hmm. And then there's a portion that loves it, right? Yeah. That adores it. So,
it was just interesting because I'm going like, wait, the one thing that we did say was going to be in the account won.
Yeah, that's right.
Not, and like, that's not good enough. Not good enough.
I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think for the three of us, we are far more passionate about the educational side and explain the reasoning behind it, and you should be thinking that way yourself. But yeah, I think there's always going to be shows in around this world that are going to do very well where it's just this bet, this bet, this bet.
I think that's fairly obvious. The cousin of that bothers me more is when let's say your buddies come in town from wherever, they're not exactly into this as much as we are. They'll demand a single pick from you.
Sure.
And if it loses, you're real smart. It's like, okay. That's the one where you're like, you'll never overcome this short-term sample size thing.
I hope the people that did listen and listened to the reasons why I didn't want to play props last night understood why I didn't want to play props. Like, there's a process and a reasoning behind everything. That is like,
and in the end, that game turned out about as to the script as it could have.
Listen, fade me. Hate me, whatever, but I will tell you all the time either why I played something, why I didn't. Right? I mean, they're like, I don't really care if you hate what I have to say, but I'm going to tell you why I'm doing something. Right? Like, I'm never going to just go like, yeah, that's in the account anyway. Let's move on. And like, no, I'm going to tell you why I put it in there.
And what more
I
could you ask from somebody?
So whatever. This is hate tweets left and right. It just is what it is.
You'll be all right. Trust me.
Just is what it is.
I'm writing the quote. I have a quote page going now from James Harden, thankfully from yesterday. But now the Matt Brown, you're paid to give us props. Just going to launch that in here. Check three times during this hour, probably.
Check Matt's contract, see if that wording is in there. You are paid to give us props.
I was like, let me go back and check that. No, doesn't think.
Did you have any sage takeaway from that 20-16 Steelers win last night? Anything?
Yeah, I mean. They're two bad teams, and like we knew that going into the game. They're two bad teams, inept offenses on both sides. I actually think Levis, though, does have some upside. I do believe Levis has a little bit of upside.
That arm is a cannon,
because
man.
They're whenever they get him to rein it in a little bit, because he got a little too confident in a couple of different times last night. He got away with it, and obviously until the very end. But I do think that there is some upside for Levis moving forward, and this is something where I think you look, and if you're Tennessee, what point is there to ever put Tannehill back under center at this point?
Should they have unloaded at the deadline?
I can only imagine they tried and nobody wanted an injured Ryan Tannehill. It's just my guess.
Maybe Tannehill, but I'm saying Henry. Like, they should have unloaded the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. There was no reason to hold on to assets when it's basically, okay, we're going to start from the baseline with Levis next year as it is anyway. So why are you holding on to a declining asset in Henry that you could have gotten at least some sort of return for? And same thing with Hopkins, right? I mean, like, yeah he's fine now, but he's a shell of what he used to be. And someone, though, will find some sort of value in him.
Do you want to give one pick here before the break, before we get to your whole
Sure. Yeah, so
better be a prop.
So, yeah, it better be a prop.
That's right.
Love it. Paid to give us some props. So this is where I ended up landing, and this happened after the pod yesterday, Gil. So I ended up landing on this Miami and Chiefs game on an alt. And so the way that I'm going to go about this is I'm going to lay 2.5 with the Dolphins at plus 133 with the mindset here that if everything goes right, then the Dolphins should just win this game and win this game. Like, because they're going to outscore the Chiefs, right? Like, this isn't like a nail-biter type situation, because what you see from this Dolphins team is if the offense is working, they just score on people, and they just outscore everybody. And if McDaniel is out-scheming what's going on the Chiefs side of things, then I believe that they just outscore them and maybe even win at a little bit of margin, because what we have seen from the Chiefs, right, is an offense that hasn't really lit up the scoreboard this year. They're relying much more on the defense than they have in years past. Rightfully so. It is a top five defense in the NFL, but they are going up against the number one offense in the NFL in this game. And so it is a strength on strength. And if the Dolphins side ends up winning, it's not a squeak it out. Oh, I need the point or the point and a half or the 2 points. It's the Dolphins just win the game outright and probably win the game outright by a little bit of margin. And so I'm going in that direction. And plus, I do think if there is a hole on the Chiefs' defensive side, it is stopping the run. So let's say that the Dolphins do get up a little bit in this game, right? They also possess the number one rush offense in the NFL. And so if you're talking about being able to kind of protect and or salt away a lead and keep it on the other side, attacking one of their strengths with one of the very few weaknesses that the Chiefs actually do possess is something that I think that they can get there. Listen, I heard Jalen Ramsey, they might be putting him on Kelsey this week. I think that's an interesting decision to go about, because they don't respect the wide receivers that the Chiefs are going to put out there. And so they're just going to put their best corner on Kelsey and say, you want to beat us with Rashee Rice and all these other guys, whatever, go to town.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, bigger body corner, put him on him, right?
You leaned into one outcome. You leaned into one path of this game, one script. Makes sense. Dolphins -2.5, alt spread plus 133 from Frankfurt, Germany, Sunday morning, early Pacific time. More with Matt Brown, NFL, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. Help millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Angriest guy in Kentucky, Kelly. Like I told you last year, Will Levis is going to be a better pro than Bryce Young. General managers falling over themselves to draft Bryce Young.
Hey, we thought so too. He still does. He might have moved to Kentucky, but why does he still, he tweets us separately. He still always tweets us separately.
I don't think he's figured that part out yet. So I'm guessing. The numbers guy says, which race is the big one today? And irresponsibly, who you got? I'm eyeing race number 5. I don't have anything today, quite frankly. We'll find out from Felika and Olchek a little later on. Does Eddie want to talk hockey? He doesn't want to talk hockey. He just wants to talk horses, right?
Well, we may do a little bit of both with him.
Mike Stacks, of the Saints, Browns, and Vikings, which team loses in Survivor? I'm now leaning towards the Raiders and hoping upsets happen. Okay. I don't know if you guys have an answer to that.
Did he say Saints, Browns, and Vikings?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go with Vikings.
Yes, because Vikings are the dog in that. That's right. Bill Hooker, I won't forget anytime soon when Felika gave out Country House on these very airwaves. More horse picks from him later. John Blum, only thing worse than Matt Brown not giving out prop picks is Gil not giving out the sushi place. Great Megapod has always cashed that Steelers under. And then Nash, last name Nash, I continue to say you should follow people who will help educate and improve you as a better, not someone giving you picks trying to make the essence of gambling, quote-unquote, easier on yourself. My favorite betting pods give very few picks but lots of content.
There we go.
There you go. There's a vote in support of your rant.
Speaking of the horses, Samich is there. Samich is there. So Samich is a big, big horse.
Yeah.
And he also plays these tournaments. And so he's in this big, like, it's like a $10,000 buy-in tournament
Mike Sommich, your All Angles co-host.
Yeah, the handle.
The handle co-host, pardon me.
Yeah, so he's playing the tournament over there. So I will have one Midland Bidlin sitting with me on Saturday, actually, over at Circa, as opposed to Mike Sommich.
You know who
that was really smooth.
That was so smooth. There's a big reserved sign on this day. Kelly moving to the middle of the show. The other, you know who else?
Yeah, I got called out of the pen. They're bringing me up, Gil. Bringing me in.
I'm looking at Breeders' Cup stuff online. Drew Dinsick was wearing his Slash Halloween hat on Tuesday when he was on with us on Halloween.
Oh, please wear it there.
He's wearing, like, you know, your central casting horse racing handicapper. He's, like, into the Breeders' Cup massively. I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I think he'd be fine with me saying this. Me and Drew might have exchanged multiple text messages about where else he could wear that hat.
Yeah.
Because it was such a good look.
Yeah. Well, now he's a horse guy.
Yeah.
Okay. He might be at San Antonio.
The first person I trust is the person that gives me some first-hand interviews with the horses themselves. And then that's whenever I'm going to come in. Like, I want to hear it from the guy, the participant, right? Like, I don't want to hear all this. He looked great today. No. I wanted to hear this is the best I've ever felt. The guys in training camp.
Yeah.
This is the best I've ever felt. I've never trained harder
A confident horse, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. He's like, oh, this is the hardest I've ever trained. I'm ready to go.
I hear
best
you love the mud. Is that true? By the way, Ron Flatter has me on one of his podcasts, his horse racing podcast. Oof. Coming up, where I play the role of sports, but not even playing the role, because I am the sports better who doesn't understand certain things about horse racing.
I like it.
Yeah. But part of that.
Hey, that would be me just playing myself.
Yeah. That was me playing myself. Yeah.
The most impressive thing about in the show so far was you in the first segment just doing 97 seconds on the Breeders' Cup. I was blown away, impressed.
Thank you very much. And you said Felica produced it. You didn't even give me credit for it.
Yeah, I'm going to stand by that.
That's not true. I haven't even spoken to him about it. Jeez. Last thing about the Chiefs and the Dolphins, because Kelly brought this up and it's correct off air. The travel, right? Now, maybe this has just been a small sample size thing this year. But the Dolphins got there early, right? The Chiefs took a flight last night. The Chiefs just arrived or are arriving now. This has not worked out for the late arriving team. Was that part of your thinking as well? Or did that not even enter?
A little bit, for sure. I mean, I kind of heard the report, Kelly, you were saying that they were going to leave. Whatever. But then I also heard another one say that they've been planning this for a year, you know, I mean, like, whatever. Yeah. And so it's just like, I don't know. I've never done it. So I don't know what works and what doesn't.
It's definitely something that's been in my mind through this year when we've looked at these games. Cause it's small sample size, but every ex player we talk to or hear talk about it, they all say the same thing. I'd much rather be over there earlier, get acclimated to it. Obviously, the counter is you get to use your own facilities for a few more days, but I'm still yet to hear someone be like, I'd rather do that and fly.
Remember, it's stuck in John Harbaugh's craw for years, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, we are, and over the summer, he's like, we're getting this travel thing right, and it worked out for them in the end.
I'll admit, I didn't like play a ton into that.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right, so you have the alt spread on the Dolphins as favorites, -2.5 at +133. More conventional sides that you have this week.
Yeah, so it's not there anymore, which is why I didn't talk about this yesterday on your pod. But I took the 4 in a hook with the Vikings on the Falcons. And this is – I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe here with that Heineke's going to come in and make this offense look just exponentially better. It's been atrocious, right? It's been inefficient all over the place. They don't know whether they want to run it, whether they want to pass it. They don't exactly know how to pass it when they decide that they want to pass it. Do they use Bijan out of the backfield? Do they use him in the slot? How often they use Algier? It's just all over the place. You go back through and you start to look at these the personnel that they've used game by game and all the different play calling. You're going, they have no idea what they want to do with this team. And then I think that just carries over into this game. Do I think they win it? Sure. Does it feel like very much like a field goal game? By the way, this Minnesota defense, if you've looked over the last 4 weeks, they've been a top 8 defense in the NFL. Like, they've actually played really, really good. They figured some stuff out and they've been much, much, much better.
Still blitzing like crazy?
Less.
Yeah, so that rate's coming down. Makes it even more impressive to me, at least. Yeah.
Yes, less so. They are still obviously the number one blitz rate team in the NFL, but it has come down significantly. And actually, they're disguising it. One of the cool things that one of the guys broke it down that I saw online, They're disguising them a whole lot better now, too. So it's almost as if they were setting it up early in the season, and they were giving these teams looks, and then they were coming up in what looked like something that they had blitzed from earlier in the season, and then they were dropping these guys back and doing all these cool things and kind of confusing the quarterback. So, listen, I you know Heinicke as well as anyone. I think he is a below average to bottom tier quarterback. There's a reason he's not a starter anywhere. There was a bunch of quarterback needy teams, and there's a reason he wasn't a starter anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the other side of four.
He has no arm strength.
Yeah.
So what you get is this gamer guy who's like, oh, he's super feisty, runs, and that lasts about 2 games.
Yeah. It was either yesterday or the day before. I thought you put it perfectly.
Yeah.
Where you're going to get excited by him for 1 or 2 games, and then you're going to see the same old bad Heinicke that you see.
And the 4.5 thing is just, it's just too much. I don't see a Falcons team winning at margin is just not really in the equation very often with this team, the way that they play.
The other one that is not available anymore, but I made the case for this and bet it as well, is Washington +3 in the hook after Montez Sweat and Chase Young were traded away. It's 3 now.
Yeah.
Would you still play it at 3? Because you have Washington +3.5 in your account.
Yeah, 3 is fine. Obviously, we know the huge increase in push equity when it comes to the 3. But so I think the handicap on this one is at least a little skewed because everyone's going, well, those two guys are gone, and so whatever. It's like, the defense actually wasn't playing all that well anyway, right? So you're betting on Washington outscoring the Patriots in this game as it is. And if you look at Washington, Sam Howell, if you, and I know this is something that you've looked at as well, like if you actually factor out the noise and factor out the garbage time stuff and all that, like he's been pretty good.
Oh yeah,
like he's been pretty good. And then if you look the last 2 weeks, what they've started to do. He's taken a lot fewer sacks than he was taking earlier on in the season. They're getting the ball out of his hands a lot quicker. They're basically forcing him to not take these sacks. Like the play calling has changed to where he doesn't have the option really to sit back there and hold the ball for too long. And he was the definition of the sacks are not always an offensive line statistic. Like you could look and he was holding the ball like longer than any quarterback in the NFL by margin, right? And so they're going, okay, well, if we can't break you of that habit right now, then let's just call plays that get you away from that. And so that's what they started to do, and this offense has looked pretty good, and the Patriots have not looked good at anything. They don't do anything well. And so if you look, even some of their defensive statistics are a little bit skewed from earlier in the season when they had a whole bunch more healthier players out there, and they've lost some very key players at all three levels along with them as well. So, I mean, look, so you're telling me, well, they're going to be able to move the ball in Washington. I mean, I guess maybe they hadn't really moved the ball on anybody all year long, right? And so I don't really care that Washington's defense hasn't been that great. I think Washington can outscore them here.
Sam Howell, 270 yards, passing yards, behind Tua Tagovailoa. By the way, he still has Mahomes, Goff, and Allen in between him and Tua. Kirk Cousins now out for the year was also in between. 25-1 to finish with the most passing yards. Do you want to take a flyer on that or no?
I mean, we probably expect them to be trailing in a whole bunch of games this year.
For sure.
And there's no reason for them. They're not going to bench him. There's no reason to bench him.
I don't think he gets there, quite frankly. But it's a heck of a number.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. All right. 3 more plays from Matt Brown on the other side. By the way, you can follow Matt at MattBrownM2 because all the other Matt Browns were taken.
Yes.
Sorry about that. MattBrownM2
basic name.
On the Twitter machine. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll do all that. NFL football, week 9. On A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS. That's promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and as always on Friday, Matt Brown, kind enough to join us for the first hour. Kelly, you had something off air that you were about?
We were talking about some of the traveling stuff. Anybody catch Nick Saban on analytics yesterday?
That was fascinating, Pat McAfee show.
So, listen. This is the common misconception for people that don't understand analytics, and this is like, if you can take anything away from this, just any analytics conversation, analytics is not telling you something is going to work. Everyone like gets the, so the people who don't get analytics, the first thing they say is like, well, yeah, but what happens when it doesn't work? It's like, no, that's not, it's not telling you it's going to work. It is giving you a probability and also explaining to you what might be the more EV, which is expected value, or in some, you know, a lot of, we're talking NFL, like they'll talk about, you know, what is the EPA of this decision, expected points added of this decision. And then that is what you're taking. Yes, it is not going to work every single time, but it does not mean that the decision was wrong, air quote wrong, because you are still making the decision that gave you the most either EPA or expected value in that. But everyone wants to go, everyone like thinks it's like, well, analytics says this, so it's, they're telling you it's going to work.
What did Saban say?
It's, he went into the whole deal about, you know, it's fourth and two, and, you know, people say, you know, analytics tell you to go for it. And, you know, what the analytics don't tell you is, like, what happens when you don't make it? And it's like, well, well, yeah, that, yes, that is exactly what's factored
kind
in.
Kind of exactly
to
what
a, yeah, it's exactly, like,
it, was
it takes into account field position, yeah, and it takes into account whatever, like, the score and the time of the game. Like, it, that, it takes in all that stuff. And it's just the fundamental, I think, when you don't understand what analytics is actually trying to tell you, you get answers and explanations like that, and that's the thing that makes you just beat your head against. It's not telling you it's going to work. So it's not like a right or wrong. Analytics is always the right decision. It's whether you want to follow them or not, and that's up to you. Like, if Saban had said, you know what, I tend to take more conservative approach.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right,
I'm not going to follow analytics every single time because I like,
right,
to be more.
Yeah.
That's fine. And that's, yeah, a perfectly rational statement, and that's okay. But what you can't say is it's wrong. It's a wrong decision. No. If it says it's a 60% right decision, that's the right decision to make. Like, you can't say, like, it was the wrong way if it doesn't work. There's, yeah, still a 40% chance that it doesn't work.
And because he's Nick Saban and he's won multiple, oh, yeah, national championships,
ain't nobody,
there's probably nobody in the building. Hey, coach.
Right.
You,
yeah,
might have had this,
yeah,
one,
nobody's going to go up to Nick Saban and tell him that. It's, yeah, sad. It's the, yeah.
No, no, no.
It's also probably another one where someone, yeah, like, it's Dabo, right? Completely different subject. Someone needs to pull Dabo aside and be like, hey, buddy, like, your whole, this whole Clemson thing is going to fall apart real quick if you don't get in line with the whole transfer portal. Like, this
is like anti-transfer,
yeah,
portal.
Like, I, yeah, they're not going to change everybody else's thinking. Like, that's not going to happen.
Oh,
it,
man.
It's just, it, it's just one of those things, like, look, I can, if you want to argue or debate or you want to, that's all, that's fine, but, like, have an understanding of the subject matter. That's all I care about. Like, it just at least understand what you're talking about.
And it's so easy, lowest common denominator in all these discussions, because I can almost hear some of the listeners, right, like, shut up, nerd, right? It's the, yeah, old locker room that, you know, lowest common denominator, yeah, counter.
See, it didn't work. Analytics didn't,
that's,
work.
Right.
And it's like, no, nah, man, that's not how it works.
All right, let's go through, yep, these last three.
Yes.
You like the Seahawks taking the points at the Ravens.
Yeah, and so this is actually pretty much universally six.
It's painted
this,
now.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, you're pretty,
I'm
much
shocked,
universally six at this point. I mean, I look at the addition of Leonard Williams to this defensive line for Seattle that has already had a run defense, which, by the way, if you didn't really dig into all this, they were fourth overall in the NFL as it was anyway in success rate allowed. Their rush defense DVOA is eighth overall in the NFL. They have been able to stop the run. So we know with the Ravens, they're passing a little bit more this year, but fundamentally they still want to run the ball. You saw what they did with Gus Edwards last week. And then you even hear Lamar come out and say, yeah, you guys, y'all were kind of sleepwalking there against the Cardinals. Like, yeah, you know, we needed to run the ball more. It's like, still fundamentally, they kind of want to run the ball with all. So, like, let's take that element out, and now we have to make Lamar a passer. He has been a much better passer over the last two seasons. There's no question in my mind about that. But if they are a little bit more one-dimensional, does that then change the success that Lamar has in passing the ball if he has to pass the ball over and over and over again? And we have the number one corner in the NFL going on the other side right now in Witherspoon, who has been amazing as a rookie,
oh, yeah,
for Seattle. And you're getting all the way up to six. I mean, the third most key number in the NFL we're getting in this game right here. Yeah, I get it. Geno struggles against man coverage and all that. I would like to think that they have figured out some plays here, that they are going to be able to maximize what Geno and all the weapons around him are able to do. It's about as healthy as Seattle has been. You get an addition in there on the defensive line. I just think six is too many points for this team. And I think the back door's always open, right? I mean, if they're down 10, if they're down, you know, even if they're down 13 in this game, I think we're always pretty live here given the amount of weapons that they have on the offensive side.
Yeah, this is a game, Gil. I don't know about you, but I kind of crossed this off. Didn't even really
Me too.
Think. When it was in the dead area, I'm
Me
like,
too.
It's going to stay there all week. This is not enough for enough points, not, or we're, I don't want to lay that much with the Ravens, but now that you're painted six, I don't even think you need to rush to grab this.
The question on the Megapod of, like, what game do you want no part of? You must play a side on everything, but one game you're going to pass on. No, I said the Rams and I said the Rams-Packers game just because I think that game's Michigan. But this one, to me, like if you told me the Ravens ended up winning it going away or the Seahawks easily covered and flirted and almost won, like I wouldn't be surprised with either outcome whatsoever. But
yeah, and look, I'm a Seattle believer. I'll fully admit that, like, this is a tiny bit biased here. I like what this team kind of brings to the table. I think the defense is kind of one of the more underrated defenses in all of the NFL. You don't get any of those huge names making huge – Witherspoon's going to be a household name, but, like, they don't have any of those really right now. And so you don't get the – this. We talked about it on your pod yesterday. It's like everyone thinks that the Cowboys get all this pressure on the quarterback and all stuff. And it's like they have the 21st pressure rate in the NFL, but it's all – because it's always Micah Parsons.
Like
you just feel like that they get all this pressure on the quarterback. Uh-huh. It's like they don't have that guy, you know, the Seattle, so you just don't think the defense being good. But it's a good defense. I think that they will be able to hold them pretty close to here. And like I said, the six is always going to be live.
All right. You and I match on a couple bets already in pocket. One was the Commanders plus the 3.5. We also match on the Bengals.
Yes. Listen, this is a really, really – I think if we didn't have Joe Burrow playing like he played at the beginning of the season, I think we'd be looking at something closer to a field goal here for Cincinnati. What we saw last week was indicative of the team that we thought was coming into this season. It was one of the most high-powered offenses in the NFL, mixed with a defense that is pretty good with a guy that's pretty good at confusing quarterbacks and pretty good at mixing things up. And Lou Anarumo, I thought maybe he had lost his fastball. It was a flash in the pan because that defense was looking really like garbage at the beginning of the year. The bye week came at the most perfect time ever for Cincinnati. You get Burrow healthy. You get T. Higgins healthy. And then on the defensive side, you gave Lou Anarumo a week to figure out, hey, man, what have I been doing wrong? What was I doing last year that worked? And what am I trying to do this year that isn't working? And then we saw a really good, comprehensive defensive performance last week as well. We were really focused on how good Burrow played and not as focused on how good the defense played as well. And I think that that's a little bit buried in all this, that we saw that defense from last year, not just the Burrow from last year as well, which I think the combination of the two is what makes this team so incredibly dangerous in this game. And, of course, the injuries on the defensive side of the ball for Buffalo come into play here a ton
for sure
for me. You know, and, yes, I understand they went out and made a move for a cornerback, but, I mean, getting up to speed and everything like that, play a handful of snaps, but it's not going to be, like, out there for a full complement as well. So this is, I think, at the number that it's sitting out there right now, I still think is a good play on Cincinnati.
I'm with you. That was the one on guessing lines that jumped off the page for me.
And the other thing, people that didn't listen, Gil, I mean, we were saying if you're just dying to get an MVP ticket in your
– Yes.
In your account, if you're dying, like – is it likely to go to Tua or Hurts or Mahomes or Lamar? Yeah, but if you want more of a lottery ticket type deal or something like that, Burrow's still sitting out there at 20-1 in that market, and they've won 3 games in a row. Now, if you win this marquee prime game that everyone's going to be watching, that is certainly going to make this move, and then you go on a run after that. Texans, Ravens, Steelers, Jags, Colts, Vikings, Steelers again. Those are all winnable games. If they rattle off 6, 7, 8, 9 wins in a row, and then you have a Week 17 game at the Chiefs,
where he can shine,
where that basically could be a head to head between him and Mahomes for the MVP, essentially. You know, it's a 20-1 that I think is still definitely live.
I've said a couple of those things on a numbers game this week. Burrow 20-1 when we talked about MVP as being the best value, and the Bengals adjusted season win total over. I love that as well, 9.5. Okay, last one is your teaser play.
Yeah.
I'll save some time on the one leg because you got the Browns against Clayton Toon of the Cardinals.
Easy enough.
Tease down to -2.
Yeah.
We get that.
Yes.
What about the Panthers being the other side of that, +8.5?
Yeah, I am a little bit more down on the Colts offense, I think, than most people are out there, and mainly because I think with the Gardner Minshew situation, these defensive coordinators have figured out Gardner Minshew. You saw, like, he came in first couple of games being able to do kind of whatever he wants and really struggled here of late. And I think I'm not smart enough to figure him out, and the defensive coordinators aren't going to tell us because they don't want to give the secret out. But there's got to be some sort of tendencies, some sort of tells or whatever. Like, he's getting picked off left and right, and the ones that aren't getting picked off, like, are hitting off defenders' hands. Like, he's got tendencies, and he's got things that he does that these guys have figured out, and I just don't think they can win at margin.
Every Gardner Minshew game is like, oh, he's good. Oh, no, he's not good. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot he's not good. Matt, that was 45 minutes where you weren't in the gym.
It was fun.
You were not in the gym. Get there quick. You're falling behind. Thank you, Matt Brown. Matt Brown, everybody. We'll come back. Chris Velika, horses and college football next.